So in a few hours from now, results of the assembly elections held in Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh and Telangana will be announced and in some ways set the stage for the big battle of Lok Sabha 2024. Call them ravadis, financial assistance or welfare, or call them guarantees, bharosa or just a bouquet of yojanas. If one has to point a finger at the underlying theme of the five elections that culminated on November 30th, it has been a battle of schemes and promises for the future. From Ashok Gehlot's Chiranjeevi Yojana to Shivraj Singh Chauhan's Ladli Behna Yojana to Bhupesh Singh Baghel's Paddy Politics and PM Modi's timely announcement to increase the free ration program till 2028. Hindutva, identity, caste, Ram Temple, safety and security of the country, the horrific murder of Kanhaiya Lal were all part of this campaign, but Hindutva is no longer a pitch that only BJP is pursuing. Even Congress leader Kamal Nath is speaking about being a Sanatani. Bhupesh Singh Baghel has built a temple for the mother of Ram. So the debate this time was largely around who is promising what, from loan waivers to higher price for paddy to a whole lot of welfare schemes centered around the girl child. And more importantly, the credibility of the party to deliver it. But with the Ram temple being inaugurated on January 22nd and the Congress increasing its emphasis on caste census, will welfare politics continue to be the most important plank for the Lok Sabha polls of 2024? That is the question we are asking tonight. Joining me is Manikam Tagore from the Congress. He's a Congress MP and has worked extensively in Telangana. Sir, thank you so much for speaking to us. Sir, you have spent so much time in Telangana, and I remember that you were one of the people who initially sort of like really supported Revant Reddy, and at a time it just seemed like the Congress could break. But, you know, and now we are here with a spirited, resurgent Congress. And if the exit poll numbers are to be believed, you could be even heading for a victory. How does that feel, and what strategies help the Congress to sort of resurface and sort of regroup?
Thank you. Telangana, as you were aware, from 2014, TRS has formed a government, and 2018, when the Congress party put its best fight, but we could not get more seats, and we got around 28% of votes and around 22 MLAs, and many of them shifted to TRS. They defected to TRS, and therefore we were left with five MLAs. And our fight was more or less limited to those areas which Congress traditionally was stronger. After the parliament election in 2020, when the leadership, a Congress president, Mr. Sonia Gandhiji, decided that there should be a change in the leadership of the state, and Mr. Revant Reddy was selected, and when that appointment happened, then next 2 years, Congress started to build an organizational thing with COVID time and others. Therefore, we were able to build an organizational structure which is equivalent to the BRS, because BRS, as you know, that among the regional parties, BRS has also had one of those structures well built for years together. And Congress was able to build that structure in that 2 years. And if I remember, means around 2022 March, when Mr. Rahul Gandhiji visited Warangal and made that announcement that we will not have any kind of tie-ups with TRS, and whomever wants to have alliance with TRS, they can go to TRS. That set the tone for the Congress, and we were able to build a narrative which is against the TRS, which was completely failed in the unemployment issue, farmer issue, and the price rise issues. Right. And then came the Bharat Jodo in September, where Mr. Gandhi spent around 12 days walking across Telangana's part of Telangana, and we were able to build a narrative. That other things, you know, thing that how it went, and the election, we were able to come to a to a place where we are going to beat the TRS tomorrow morning.
Right, sir. But do you think the party will be able to keep its flock together? Because Manikam, sir, we all know what happened in 2018 with the 19 MLAs that the party won. A huge block actually went to the BRS, and BRS also managed to get MLAs from other parties. So do you think that your party will be able to keep its flock together?
Yeah, that's the sad part of the Indian politics, which Mr. Amit Shah follows it as Operation Kamala, in the name of Operation Kamala, they buy MLAs, they threaten MLAs and topple the governments. The same thing, KCR was also is close to Amishaji's model of Operation Kamala, and he did that same thing. This time, people of Telangana are fed up with this kind of operations, and this sold out MLAs, or many people are going to lose that elections. And the people of India, people of Telangana have decided to vote for Congress, and we hope that it's going to be a clear verdict, and we are going to win a comfortable majority. And the Congress party, it's because the people of Telangana has decided to vote out this year. That's the issue. And we are very clear that our all the leaders are together, and our Deputy Chief Minister of Karnataka, Mr. D.K. Shivakumar, has been sent there to manage the affairs tomorrow, and we all hope that we will be getting a clear-cut majority and forming a government.
Right. Mr. Raghavan, my last question to you. You know, Rahul Gandhi has been against the RSS or any manifestation of the Hindutva. So, you know, when you see Kamal Nath and Bhupesh Singh Baghel actually not really, falling or, you know, maybe talking against Hindutva, do you think that is something that is of advantage to your party, or do you think the party will become more accommodating of the Hindu sentiments as we approach 2024?
No, it's a conspiracy by RSS and BJP to paint Congress as not a Hindu-related party or religious-based these things, and they wanted to create the impression that Congress is anti-Hindu and others, which is untrue. And we are able to, we want all Indians an equal right, and we all want all the Indians to have the right say also. And in northern part of India, particularly Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh and others, the way the state leaders handle these religious issues in a decent way, but not making to that level of RSS and BJP, where they wanted to insult the other beliefs. The Congress was very careful and taking all the beliefs together and making everybody feeling comfortable.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Manickam, for joining us. All the best for tomorrow. Thank you. We also have Narottam Mishra, the Home Minister of Madhya Pradesh, joining us. Thank you, Narottam ji. Aap humse baat karne ke liye. Sare jo jitne bhi polls hai, exit polls hai, unka kehna ye hai ki zyadatar polls ka kehna ye hai ki BJP jo hai sarkar fir se Madhya Pradesh mein bana sakti hai. 18 saalon ke baad fir se apna sarkar banana. ये बहुत बड़ी बात है. अगर ये एग्जिट पोल्स के नतीजे सही साबित होते हैं तो सर क्या स्ट्रैटेजी को आप क्रेडिट देंगे? ओके, वी सीम टू हैव लॉस्ट हिम. विल ट्राई रिकनेक्टिंग विद हिम. वी आल्सो हैव अ पैनल ऑफ एक्सपर्ट्स विद अस. मनीषा प्रियम, पॉलिटिकल एनालिस्ट, जॉइनिंग अस. आल्सो संदीप शास्त्री एंड रशीद किडवाई. लेट मी, मनीषा मैम, हाउ डू यू सी दिस होल कॉम्पिटिटिव वेलफेयरिज्म प्लेइंग आउट इन ऑल द थ्री स्टेट्स, इनफैक्ट ऑल द फाइव स्टेट्स? एंड यू नो, यू सॉ पैडी पॉलिटिक्स, यू सॉ बीजेपी इंक्रीजिंग द प्रोक्योरमेंट प्राइसेस ऑफ पैडी, एंड ऑफकोर्स भूपेश सिंह बघेल सॉर्ट ऑफ रिवाइजिंग हिज अनाउंसमेंट्स आफ्टर अ वीक. यू सॉ चिरंजीवी योजना वर्सेज आयुष्मान भारत. सो क्लियरली वेलफेयर पॉलिटिक्स सीम्स टू बी टेकिंग सेंटर स्टेज व्हेन इट कम्स टू इलेक्शन कैंपेन्स. हाउ डू यू सी दिस? Manisha ma'am? Okay, I think we have lost her too. Okay. We'll go across to Sandeep Shastri. Dr. Shastri, how do you see this whole competition in welfare? Do you think that this is going to be the main plank of 2024 Lok Sabha with the Ram Temple coming up and also this emphasis on caste census increasing? Do you see more emphasis on welfare or do you see this going down?
Vasudha, I think context defines content in any election campaign. There is a context. And in each of the five states where we have a poll, the way in which welfare figures in the agenda of parties and in the mind of the voters is in the context of various other issues which are part of the whole electoral process. Like in Telangana, while the welfare issue is very much there, there is competitive welfareism from both the sides. And what we are seeing is, though the PRS was very, very apparently effective in the type of schemes it promoted, the exit polls seem to indicate that it does not result in the party doing better in the election. That's because there are other factors which have come in. It may be anti-incumbency or fatigue of 10 years, or it may be dynasty issues, or it may be corruption. I mean, there are a combination of issues which have come in. On the other hand, in Madhya Pradesh, we have seen maybe a recovery of the BJP in the last phase of the campaign, with the Ladli Behna and Ladli Beti program becoming so visible. So I think it, and on the other hand, the Congress came up with its own set of programs. So this competitive populism which you talked about becomes only one factor as part of what people keep in their minds when deciding which party to vote for. It is important, undoubtedly it is important, but let's not see it as the factor, but let us see it as a factor with many other factors playing a role in defining and deciding how a voter would see who he or she would like to vote for.
Right. Manisha Prem, among the three things that the Congress has primarily raised, one is the caste census, then you have this promise of OPS, and also, farm loan waiver. And these are three things that BJP has sort of shied away from. Do you see any of the three caste census, loan waiver and OPS posing a challenge to the BJP's campaign in the run-up to 2024?
I think all three, the OPS has been very effective in Himachal Pradesh. So the OPS, for example, if you take it in Rajasthan itself, will depend on the number of government employees you have there. And whether you have more who are not benefited by it, then it won't work. So obviously, welfare schemes have now to be seen whether they work in a small arena or do they have a national appeal. So some things are likely to have a national appeal. For example, on gas cylinder prices, I see a bottoming out. There is a general consensus across the political divide that you need to provide it at 500 rupees or so. And that's something that both parties seem to have agreed on. I was reading the fine print in Rajasthan.
Manisha ma'am, just a second. We have Narottam Mishra, the Home Minister of Madhya Pradesh, joining us. Narottam ji, zyadatar jitne bhi exit polls hain, unka kehna ye hai ki BJP shayad ek baar fir se sarkar bana sakti hai Madhya Pradesh mein. Aapko kitna vishwas hai in numbers pe?
एक बार फिर से नहीं, पांचवी बार फिर से.
यस सर.
विश्वास, अखंड विश्वास है. कितना विश्वास नहीं, अखंड विश्वास है कि भारतीय जनता पार्टी ही सरकार बनाएगी.
मिस्टर मिश्रा, कुछ महीने पहले तक लग रहा था कि शायद कांग्रेस का थोड़ा सा एडवांटेज हो सकता है, लेकिन पिछले एक साल में हमने देखा कि काफी बीजेपी ने जो है मेहनत की है, और जितनी योजनाएं हैं, जैसे लाडली बहना योजना हो गया, बहुत ज्यादा चर्चा इस बात पे हुआ है कि शिवराज सिंह चौहान सरकार या भाजपा सरकार के वेलफेयर इनिशिएटिव क्या रहे हैं. आपके हिसाब से कौन सी स्ट्रैटेजी ने बहुत ज्यादा काम किया है आपके लिए?
सरकार की नहीं, सारी चीजें बुके बना था इन योजनाओं का, जैसे प्रधानमंत्री आवास योजना है, उज्ज्वला योजना है, हमारे शौचालय का जो लाभ सीधा सीधा पहुंचा, प्रधानमंत्री जी के द्वारा भेजे गए 6,000, मुख्यमंत्री जी के द्वारा भेजे गए 6,000 से 12,000 रुपया साल का वो पहुंचा, लाडली बहना का पैसा पहुंचा, हमारी संबल योजना थी, तीर्थ दर्शन योजना थी, बेटी बचाओ योजना थी, बेटी पढ़ाओ योजना थी, कन्यादान योजना थी, लाडली लक्ष्मी योजना थी, एक बुके था जो सीधा सीधा हमारी योजनाओं से आम जनता प्रभावित हो रहा था. दूसरा, कृषि, किसान, कृषि के क्षेत्र में मध्य प्रदेश में हमारा 47 लाख हेक्टर हो गई, 7 लाख हेक्टर से बढ़ के जमीन सिंचित रकबा हमारा, तो ये अपने आप में एक कीर्तिमान था. फीडर शेपरेशन के बाद में हर गांव में बिजली पहुंच गई, बिजली का उत्पादन बढ़ गया. तो ऐसी योजनाएं जो काम करने वाली सरकार है उसको लोगों ने पसंद किया, भारतीय जनता पार्टी को पसंद किया, मोदी जी के नेतृत्व को पसंद किया. अमित शाह जी ने आके जब ये रणनीति बनाई थी मध्य प्रदेश में, तभी स्पष्ट हो गया था. ये अलग बात है कि आपको या किसी को नहीं दिखाओ, पर हम लोगों को आत्मविश्वास दुगना हो गया था. और उसके बाद लगातार हमारे नड्डा जी, बीडी भाई, इन सबके नेतृत्व में हम आगे बढ़े.
राइट. मिस्टर मिश्रा, ये बड़ा सवाल है कि सीएम कौन बनेगा, और मैं जानती हूं कि आपकी पार्टी में एक प्रक्रिया होती है, लेकिन ये बताइए कि आप खुद एक कैंडिडेट हैं और जितने एमपीस को लड़ाया था, ये सामूहिक नेतृत्व, ये स्ट्रैटेजी क्या काम आई है पार्टी के लिए?
पहली बात तो मैं कोई कैंडिडेट नहीं हूं, ये मैं स्पष्ट कर दूं, मैं कोई दावेदार नहीं हूं, ये स्पष्ट कर दूं। दूसरा, सामूहिक नेतृत्व था, ये बिल्कुल आधार था, और हमने तो अपने रथ जो विकास यात्रा निकाली थी 8-10 महीने पहले, उस पर अपना सामूहिक नेतृत्व की तस्वीर लगा दी थी, फोटो लगा दिए थे कि हम सब हैं माननीय मोदी जी के नेतृत्व में एक साथ।
जी जी, thank you Mr. Mishra for joining us. Going back to our panel of workers, we were speaking to Manisha Priyam on competitive welfare. Ma'am, I'll just come to you in a bit. Rashid Kidwa, you have been traveling across Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh, and you've also written about this. Does it help the Congress that the party did not let Hindutva faith related controversies this time, for instance, you know, Sanatan Dharma or violence by Hindutva groups, at least in Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh, does that help the party? Rashid Kidwai?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. Can you please repeat?
Yes, sir. So I was saying that, you know, this time we saw both in Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh with Bhupesh Singh Baghel and Mr. Shivraj Singh Chauhan, we saw that they did not let Hindutva or faith-related controversies. You know, we saw Mr. Baghel talking about temples for Ram, or we saw Mr. Kamal Nath also saying that he himself is a Sanatani. So, you know, this insistence on not getting into the Hindutva narrative, does that help the Congress?
Vasudha, we would get to know tomorrow, but for the face of it, unlike Rajasthan, in the political campaign in Madhya Pradesh and in Chhattisgarh remained focused on state issues, etc., and that emotive issues, including issue of Ram Mandir and polarization, etc., did not find it much traction in Madhya Pradesh as well as in Chhattisgarh. And for that, some credit should go to the state leadership of the Congress party in both states. They themselves projected themselves as pro-Hindutva. Remember, Vasudha, a kind of confrontation or tussle happens when you are on the, you know, the arguing or you're contesting some claim or other. If you're on the same side, then that issue, you know, even if it is an emotive issue or a provocative issue, it loses its steam, and that exactly what happened. I am particularly keen whether this, you know, if there is welfareism, that revelry culture, is it going to, you know, impact in all three states? We're talking about Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, Rajasthan, pro-incumbency, anti-incumbency. I think we'll see some kind of direction. And Mr. Modi was pitted against all the three regional satraps of the Congress. If Shivraj wins and other two loses, I mean, in other two places, BJP loses, it will show that it is a Shivraj show. But if it's Modi show, then Mr. Modi has to, you know, make BJP win in all three states. So therefore, tomorrow's verdict is going to be very, it's going to indicate how the country is shaping for 2024.
Right. Manisha Priyam, there's one thing that I know you've talked about, cultural nationalism. While there's competition in welfare and also Hindutva, BJP talks a lot about local icons, regional icons. You know, we've seen the BJP talk about Birsa Munda, Rani Durgavati. In West Bengal, I remember that they did talk about Matangini Hazra. So clearly, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on identity and cultural icons. Do you see the Congress catching up with the BJP in this battle for owning, what would you say, the cultural electoral landscape? Or do you think the party is actually behind in this?
No, I think the biggest answer to your question would be Bhupesh Baghel, who did carve out a Chhattisgarhia identity. I mean, imagine this was a state within the umbrella fold of the large state of Madhya Pradesh. But Bhupesh Baghel carving out a specific Chhattisgarhia identity, talking about that land being the land of Kaushalya, talking about the Ram Van Gaman Path, and portraying himself in the image of being from the Nanihal or the Mamhar of, Lord Ram. I think that's not lost on anyone. But I think the big point to the show today is the interview with Sri Narottam Mishra ji, where he's come in and told you of how very important the welfare schemes were. And he finger pointed to you all the important schemes that they've had for women, for the welfare of women. But he also told you about the Tirth Yatra schemes. So welfareism combined with some amount of cultural nationalism or regional identity is definitely something that works. And I think both parties have bottomed out as far as the supply of LPG is concerned. Plus, you've also seen that some amount of protection to the farmers, that's something that's a floor there. I have read today in between the lines of the fine print of what Prime Minister Modi had to campaign for in Rajasthan, he's gone on to say that each of those schemes that are being delivered in the state will be continued if the BJP comes to power. So yes, there is still the hold of welfare schemes, but how each party is able to portray what they will provide, what credibility comes with it, and other factors, as Professor Shastri has said, those also play an important role. Let's not discount welfare politics. I think it still remains the most important poll pitch and plank. What you give, how you portray the adversary, and how you link it up with other factors, that makes the arena of electoral competition.
Right. Dr. Shastri, last word from you. If I were to ask you if there was an evident theme or a departure from the regular in all the five campaigns that, you know, just got over, what would you see as a dominant possible narrative in the Lok Sabha campaign?
I think the dominant narrative for me would be not merely the provision of welfare schemes. Has those schemes actually reached the people? Have the people benefited from it? I think one thing is coming out very clearly in these elections is the woman voter is becoming very important, not just because of women-related schemes, but the fact that the woman is concerned about the welfare, well-being of the family. And when governments pursue schemes and programs, implement schemes and programs which are linked to providing this welfare for the people, it does impact on the way women vote. So I think that would be something we will be looking at. But let me also say this, Vasudha. Next year, the elections are a different ballgame. When it comes to state assembly elections, local issues, local factors dominate. But when it comes to a national election, we have seen this in the past, that the questions of the country, its image, its future, where it has reached, where it is going, all these factors come in. Nationalism, patriotism, all these are looked at. And you will have this whole debate on caste and, on the other hand, the question of unity. All these factors are going to play up when it comes to a national election. Right. I think benefits to the voters in terms of welfare schemes is much more visible when you come to a state assembly elections. It does not seem to be a frontline factor when you come to a Lok Sabha election.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Shastri. Thank you, Mr. Kidwai and Manisha Priyam for joining us. That was a panel of experts on welfare politics emerging as the dominant narrative in the elections that got over just now. And of course, time for a short break. More news and updates on the other side.